I am standing in the middle of 4 acres of shoulder-high sweet corn on a Tuesday morning in late July, and I am watching my life savings rot in real time. The air is thick with the smell of fermenting sugar and failure. I have spent $4,000, 6 months of backbreaking labor, and every ounce of my hope to produce a harvest that has absolutely nowhere to go. While you are dreaming of a picturesque life in the dirt, the ghost customer is already planning your bankruptcy. If you don't know who is buying your crop before the seed hits the soil, you aren't a farmer, you are a victim of your own hobby. This is the brutal transition from hobby to harvest profit, and most of you are failing before you even buy the tractor. 40,000 ears of corn are ripening simultaneously in the heat, a ticking clock of sugar turning to starch, and I have exactly zero buyers. I drive to every local grocery store, only to be told they only buy from corporate distributors. Then I drive to restaurants, only to find they don't need corn that week. I end up dumping 3 tons of prime produce into the hog pen, watching 5 months of work disappear into the mud in 20 minutes. It is the most expensive lesson I ever learned. But before we diagnose the profit bleed, I need you to look for the garden ghost. Next time you walk your property, look at the fence line, specifically where the wild blackberry or bramble meets your cultivated soil. If the berries are ripening on the north side of the vine, 3 days before the south side, despite having full sun, stop. That silver-blue haze on the berry skin that appears out of sequence is a hidden signal of a thermodynamic profit leak. Most ignore it, but it's a forensic marker we are going to decode at the 15-minute mark. The farm freshway demands a total philosophical execution of the hobbyist mindset. Big ag relies on the economies of scale. They win because they can be 10% cheaper over 1 million units. If you try to play that game, you will lose. Your advantage is ag illity. You are a scalpel, they are a sledgehammer. They struggle with logistics and perishability, but you live right next to the hunger. The struggle comes when you copy their methods, like planting 4 acres of corn, when you should have planted 1/4 acre of high-density microgreens or specialty edible flowers. Here is your first technical pro tip. Stop growing for calories. Start growing for shelf life replacement. The grocery store can provide calories cheaply. They cannot provide fragility. If a crop can survive a 3-day truck ride, don't grow it. If it wilts in 4 hours, that is your profit engine. You must focus on ultra-perishables. I remember the smell of wood smoke on a crisp October morning, that sharp, clean scent that cuts through the dampness of the falling leaves. You can feel the weight of a heavy harvest basket, the wicker handle digging into the palm of your hand, the muscle memory of a season's worth of carrying, that snap of a healthy stalk, the sound of life being harvested at its peak, that is the frequency of a successful farm. I am kneeling in the dirt, the grit is under my nails, the sun is just beginning to prickle the back of my neck. This is the moment where the dream meets the dirt. The tactical deep dive into your profit engine starts with the ghost customer. This buyer is not at the farmer's market. They are the local baker who needs specialty heirloom wheat, the high-end florist looking for wonky but beautiful dried pods, or the brewery that wants 10 pounds of fresh-picked hops. My war story for this is the chef trap. I used to show up at the back door of the best restaurant in town with a box of beautiful radishes. The chef would look at them, praise the quality, and then tell me he could only pay me 50 cents a bunch because that's what his corporate Cisco rep charged. I was trying to compete on price with a giant. I was a fool. The pivot happened when I stopped bringing him what he already had and started bringing him what he couldn't get. I grew mustard flowers and P10 drills so delicate they would melt in a shipping container. I moved from a commodity to a luxury. You have to be ruthless with your time audit. If you are spending 3 hours a day weeding a crop that only nets you $20 a week, you are a hobbyist. A profitable harvester knows that soil fertility is their bank account and their labor is their interest rate. Use high-density planting and no-till methods to reduce the man-hours per calorie. Listen to me closely. If you are still hand-watering more than 1 acre, you are committing financial suicide. Your time is worth $50 an hour, at minimum. If you aren't charging that against your vegetable prices, You are lying to yourself about your profit. I once spent 40 hours a month hand-picking Colorado potato beetles off plants worth $200. I was paying myself $5 an hour to be a bug catcher. That is a high-stakes failure. I should have been marketing my value-added products like garlic braids or dried herb medleys, the snap of a sun-warmed cucumber, the way the skin resists for a microsecond before giving way to that cool, watery crunch, the smell of tomato vines, that resinous, yellow dust that sticks to your forearms and smells like the very essence of summer. You can feel the vibration of the bumblebees in the squash blossoms, a low, heavy thrum that vibrates in the air. The soil is cool and damp against your knees, a stark contrast to the heat of the noon sun. The resultant reveal of a truly self-sustaining life is the moment you realize your farm is paying for your mortgage. It's the vision of looking out over your rows and seeing capital growing out of the earth. But you can't get there if you ignore the garden ghost. Remember the blackberry signal? That silver-blue haze on the north side? It means you have thermal radiation bouncing off a nearby structure or a hidden rock formation underground. This is a heat sink. Most ignore it, but a pro sees a profit opportunity. That heat sink is where you plant your earliest crops to beat the market by 2 weeks. When everyone else is selling tomatoes in July, you're selling them in June for triple the price because you understood the ghost in your soil. You aren't just a survivalist, you are a strategist. You are curating an ecosystem that feeds you while protecting you from the inflation of the outside world. When you master the transition from hobby to harvest profit, you don't just have a garden, you have a lifeline. The hum of the farm, the bees in the clover, the thrum of the tractor, the pulse of a landscape that is finally working for you. The community challenge for this week is the ghost hunt. Go to your local small business district, the bakers, the brewers, the florists. Ask them, what is the one thing you have to order from out of state that you wish you could get fresh? Don't tell them what you grow. Listen. Then, tell me in the comments, what was the ghost crop they asked for? This leads us to a deeper question, one that divides the homesteading world in half. Is it better to grow what the community needs, even if it means running your farm like a cold, calculated business, or is the soul of the farm lost the moment you prioritize profit over your own personal food preferences? Is a profitable farm a success, or is it just another job in the dirt?